Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
You with Dwayne's World. Keep your texts coming on the Speckle text, 0433 98 11 16. I'll read a few more out very shortly. In fact, in around 15 or 16 minutes time, I'll read a few more of your Speckle text out. So jump them through, 0433 98 11 16. Have a few come through about, I wouldn't know what it's like maybe to leave my kids and go away for a long period of time. I have done it a few times myself. I just haven't talked about it on this program. I've done a couple of Olympic Games in Vancouver. I was away from family and kids for 3 weeks. In London, 3.5 weeks, no family. And in fact, while I was in London, my father died whilst I was there broadcasting for Fox. I stood on a wharf in Greenwich and was on the phone to my dad when he passed away. So you do miss things when you're away, but sometimes, you just have to accept it. And, you know, he accepted that I was away for work and he wanted me to be away for work as well. And, you know, I was away and had to cope with his death at that time just the way it was done. And it is silly sometimes to equate what happened in the 80s to today. So, you know, I am a bit of an old fossil when it comes to the way I grew up in football. But for the record, to play the game I love at the top level, I did have to leave home as well, on my own, no family, move interstate, leave my family in Adelaide, left my girlfriend at the time who was working as a teacher in Adelaide and said, you know, I'm going to Geelong to play footy. And yes, it was employment, but more than that, it was my want to go and achieve something great personally, have a crack, and have a crack not just for me, but for my family who wanted me to go and have a crack as well in my chosen field. And it wasn't the money that drove it. It was my passion for the game. I spent a few months alone with my teammates in Geelong and absolutely loved it. And when the first school term ended in SA in 1987, I had a conversation with my teacher girlfriend at the time saying, do you want to come to Geelong? Your choice. Do you want to quit your job and come? And no support network here, just me and you. Best thing I ever did was move to Geelong, get out of my comfort zone and come here and live for a couple of months and have my girlfriend come here and join me a term later. And, you know, we got married and had a few kids and the rest is history. Jared Waitley called Aussie tennis star Sam Groth a pillock yesterday. That's Jared's choice. I read Sam Groth's article today, had a look at his tweet yesterday, and I think he made some pretty relevant points. And he joins me for a chat, the former Australian tennis star and host of The First Serve. Joins me for Dometic, mobile living made easy. Welcome to you, Sam. Great to have you on the program.
Dwayne, thank you for having me. I'm glad you brought up Jared's comment where he started his show with yesterday, because if you didn't, I definitely was. It was an interesting take, wasn't it? And without the ability for me to really have any sort of response or comment.
So what did you think when you heard it?
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit unreasonable. I think any time you have an opinion on football in this city especially, you know, I'm a proud lover of the AFL as well, and maybe not of a club in this state, but of the Sydney Swans. And I think anytime you have an opinion on football, people, but I think at the same time, no, tennis is a very, very different sport. But if you're going to have a look at a situation that's not too different to what the AFL player have to put themselves through, there's plenty of international athletes and Australian athletes that ply their trade on the world scale that go through this week in, week out.
You said no in your article, no footballer signed up for hubs, but you also said in conclusion to that, no one signed up in this world for job losses, economic disaster, health disaster. And I think your quote in that article was, extraordinary times require extraordinary measures. You know, you made a pretty good point with that, I thought.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing to look at in all of this. You know, I think 2020 is not the year that any of us expected it to be. I mean, I think in January when the bushfires were on, and obviously we were covering the Australian Open at Melbourne Park, and the discussion was around, you know, the smoke, and is this going to be the worst thing that we endure in Australia in a long, long time? Well, that's sort of changed very, very quickly, and that's not taken away from what a crisis that was. But it is an extraordinary period in which we're living, and if we aren't talking about getting sport up and running, getting some sort of normality back, and, you know, obviously I would love to see football played again. I mean, I'm passionate about it, but at the same time, if that's going to happen, it's going to take extraordinary things. And in the end, without the players, there's no game. And at the moment, we can't see it going back to normal, even though as a country, we're actually doing quite well.
Yeah, I can't see the 2 8-week hub thing happening. And I said it yesterday. I don't know why there was such an extremist attitude with such an extremist storyline, talking so openly and sort of disaster-like about this worst-case scenario, when I think middle ground is going to be found, and we might end up having a situation where the players only have to stay away for a number of weeks, if that. I mean, we might not even need hubs if the borders are opened up here and we get an opportunity to travel freely from state to state. How long's your biggest stint that you've had to stay away from family to ply your trade, Sam? Because let's face it, you're a bit like me. You had to travel for your employment, which is the sport you love, but you weren't at the top of your game like I was never at the top of mine either. It was a struggle, so you really had to go the extra yard that the great players didn't necessarily have to go to.
Yeah, it was interesting just listening to you opening there to this hour, saying how you had to make the moves. I was the same. I grew up in country New South Wales on the New South Wales-Victorian border in Albury, and at 16, I picked up everything and moved down here to stay with the family, away from my family, away from my support network, and lived down here for sort of 6 to 8 months before my parents actually made the journey down with my brother and sister. At 18 years of age, I moved to London, where I knew nobody, to try to chase, I guess, what was my dream. And, you know, I used to do, you know, 40-odd weeks a year on the road. I think one year towards the end of my career, I had an apartment in the US. I was living in Virginia, not far from Washington, D.C., and I spent 9 days one year in my rented apartment. So I know it's the sport I signed up for. That's the argument of so many who are, I guess, in opposition to what I've been saying. Yes, it's the sport I signed up for, but at the same time, it doesn't make it any easier in terms of mental health and being away from family and friends. And, you know, even though it is the sport and the journey that I chose, the pause is, if they need advice on this topic, there's plenty of sports Aussie athletes and people in professional roles that do go away for extended periods of time. They're not going to be the first to do it. They're not going to be the last.
I know that it made me stronger being away from a support network for a little while. Maybe sort of grow up a bit fairly quickly as a 21-year-old back then. I know Timbertop is a year that they have at Geelong Grammar as well, where they take the students away. I think it's year 10, and they take them away from their family and have them live in country Victoria for an extended period of time, in terms where they can't just call their mum or call their dad or watch TV. Did it make you stronger being away, have to cope for yourself with no support network, just being alone for a little while in periods of time?
Yeah, I think being on the road for me, you know, away. And also, the thing to note with going and playing tennis was, if you don't win, you don't get paid. I'm an 18-year-old kid funding myself in London, where there's a lot of pressure on a kid of that age. And as you mentioned, I wasn't a superstar at a young age that shot through to the top ranks and was there consistently making millions of dollars. I think some people assume when you're an international tennis player, that's the reality of the world you live in. You know, there was certainly tough times, but you grow up very quickly and you become pretty strong and resilient through those times. I know I did, and I went through a lot of stuff. You know, and at 21 years of age, I came back to Australia. I quit tennis and had a break from the sport. And I've been very open and honest in telling that story over the journey as well. So, you know, I've had a lot of ups and downs in my career, but I'm definitely, when I look back at it now, a stronger person because of that.
Do you sometimes look at the footballers and think they're lucky? Because you don't, I mean, it's an individual sport, tennis, and you chose to play an individual sport. So that's your choice. But at the same time, footballers do have this network where they've got a psychologist, they've got a doctor to give a call any time, any day or night, any minute, midnight if they want to. They've also got, you know, dietitians to tap into any time they like. They get lectured on the opportunities that they could actually open up, because a football club has so many business people that they can tap into. Do you look at that and say it's an environment that they don't realise sometimes how lucky they are?
I think so, a little bit. Obviously, they're the best in their sport, so I'll give them credit and say they've done the work and they're playing AFL football because they're the elite of that game. But at the same time, you know, I'm very close with the Sydney Swans, and I remember going to a Blood Brothers luncheon here in Melbourne of the ex-South Melbourne people still involved with the football club. And as you mentioned, a lot of business people involved in the club. And Tom Harley was there, and they were talking about all the stuff that they're doing for the players to prepare them and help them, not just during football, but for what comes afterwards. And the question was asked of me at that luncheon what tennis did in the same respects. And when I told them the journey of a tennis player and how it's basically all ourselves and on our own back, I think about half of them fell off their chairs. So there is a lot of opportunity afforded to these AFL players. I think tennis could be better with the way they handle that. I think AFL does a very good job of that. But it also does create quite an insular environment where something like this that does throw a situation out of the normal, that people, hit the panic button a little bit. And I think we saw that panic button definitely get hit when this sort of popped up a day or two ago.
No doubt. And maybe hit it too prematurely as well, that panic button. Sam, before I let you go, it's been great to have a chat to you, but before I let you go, what do you make of this spread of prize money opportunity? Do you think it'll happen? Do you think it's worthwhile? Do you think it's deserved?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the relief fund. I think there's been a bit of a pushback internally from the players, not publicly. Obviously, Dominic Thiem came out and was pretty strong in his opinion. But, you know, I think there's definitely a way to look at this in a better way. You know, $4 or $5 million for winning a Grand Slam final is probably a little extreme. If you knocked a little bit off the top and filtered that down to the lesser players, I think in the long run, that's probably more sustainable than a single handout in a time of crisis.
Great to have a chat to you, Sam. Look forward to hearing more of you on the First Serve. Always great listening. Thanks for your time.
Dwayne, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sam Groth, former Australian tennis player, co-host of the First Serve for Dometic Mobile Living Made Easy. 1-300-736-736, the number if you'd like to join us. 1-300-736-736, the open line for Warrior Bikir. Read out a few of his speckled texts as well. 0433981116. The speckled text. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000. Paid fast. Your calls next.